This is a sermon to finish off a little preaching series from the book of Hosea. Hosea, the book we went through a few weeks back, is based around the idea that marriage matters. Marriage matters because it is the very best illustration of the type of relationship which God wants with everyone. The Lord reaches out to all people, like a bridegroom proposing marriage, which means a lifelong partnership based on covenant love. So there's a first reason why marriage matters, and I'll just go through several as part of this theme sermon. Marriage matters, one, because it shows all of us how we can have a good relationship with God. Now, this morning, baby Hugh has been brought for baptism by his believing parents, Rosie and Steve. And marriage matters to children like Hugh, because it makes a big difference to the outcomes in life for so many children. The Centre for Social Justice provided figures which say in our country, less than 1 in 10 married couples split by the time their child is 5 years old, whereas 1 in 3 cohabiting couples have separated by the 5th birthday of their child. Marriage matters. And of those couples who stick together until their children reach adulthood, 97% of them are married. Marriage matters if children are to grow up in the best environment of stability, which has such an influence on health, educational, and other outcomes. Now, it's not necessarily so. Lots of single parents and cohabiting couples do a great job. And children whose upbringing is far from ideal can turn out great. And children of faithfully married couples can have big problems. But in general, marriage matters when it comes to what is best for children. And the evidence is large and obvious. Actually, it's scandalous that the government chooses to ignore it. On Friday, Ruth Crouch, a member of St. George's Church, was 100 years old. Went along to the little party she had, and she was in very good form. It reminded me of a time when I was watching telly a few years ago, and the local news had found somebody, a lady who was 100, and they asked her, put the microphone in her face and asked, "What's your secret?" And she said, I smoke one cigarette every day. Now, even a smoker can reach 100, but we know the evidence is obvious that smoking does not lengthen your life. It shortens it, on average, significantly, and is likely to result in health problems and other problems. So our government acts on the evidence and favours non-smoking in the public arena. Why don't they act on the evidence and favour traditional marriage with its clear benefit for the bringing up of children? Marriage matters. Marriage matters, three, even though the Bible says it's good to be single. Over half the British population is single. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 8, Paul writes, "To the unmarried and the widows, I say, it is well to remain unmarried, as I am." And after a discussion through that chapter, in verse 38, he writes, "He who marries his fiancée does well, and he who refrains from marriage will do better." Marriage matters, even though the Bible says it's better to be single. As Paul says, within that discussion, in that chapter, there's more chance to be focused on the things of God when we're single. Whereas married people can become anxious about pleasing others, particularly within their family, more than God. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the Word of God tells single people that they ought to get married if they want to be sexually active, because in God's eyes, marriage is the only right place for sex. But as long as people are self-controlled when it comes to sex, being single is better. We seek to encourage those who are single, those who want to get married, and those who don't. And there is a dating agency which we put the card of on the hall notice board if you'd like to explore that sort of thing. But the truth is, marriage matters, but it's good to be single if we can. Now, the Bible's message in all sorts of ways on sexual activity and marriage and singleness pulls against the trends of today in Western cultures, but it is our society which is unusual over the whole span of history and over the whole family of nations. Now, marriage matters. And marriage matters, three, is the message since the very start of human history. That was what our Bible readings were about today. And maybe you'd turn back to them now. The first one was the very first page or two, chapter or two of the Bible. If you're in the church Bibles, it's page 2, right at the start of the Old Testament. And here we see in the first chapters of the Bible, when the first humans appear, the gift of marriage comes straight after. So in chapter 1, verse 26, then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness." And then in verse 27, so God created humankind in his image. In the image of God he created them, male and female he created them. The image of God is male with female. Male and female. Humankind made in God's image. And then in chapter 2, verse 18 and following, the Lord made the first two humans to be of the same stuff, but different. Complementary. And marriage is their calling, a calling to stay together and to be one in a sexual union. So verse 24, therefore a man leaves his father and mother and clings to his wife, and they become one flesh. Marriage matters from the start of human history. Marriage between a man and a woman in God's image is what it's about. Now, this gift of marriage is what matters to God in the book of Hosea. And this gift of marriage is what matters to Jesus. He made that very clear when religious leaders put him on the spot in what was our second reading in Mark chapter 10. Maybe you'd like to move on to that. If you've got the church Bibles, it's in the New Testament section, page 46. Page 46, chapter 10, verse 2. The chapter numbers are the big numbers, and the verse numbers the small numbers in amongst the sentences. And verse 2 says, some Pharisees came to test Jesus. They asked, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? Now, why was this a testing question? Well, it's because Jesus lived in an easy divorce culture, and any answer which challenged that do what you want worldview would make Jesus unpopular. So what would Jesus do? Well, first of all, he showed up their position as being rather shallow and positing the question, why is divorce achieved by a quick piece of paper? Is that a good thing? Verse 3, he answered them, what did Moses command you? They said, Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her. But Jesus said to them, you see, Jesus had decided to make a stand, whether he was going to be unpopular or not. And the meaning of marriage which he turned to was the Bible's teaching from Genesis 1 and 2. That's what he quotes. Can you see in verse 5 and following? Jesus said to them, because of your hardness of heart, he wrote that commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. And then Jesus added his own punchline. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Marriage matters to Jesus, doesn't it? That is, the Bible's teaching on marriage matters to Jesus. The word of God on marriage since humanity began matters to Jesus. Now, Jesus knows that society often wants to soften the commitments on marriage and blur the edges and change the focus. And as he says, he associates that with hardness of heart, a hardness towards God and his purposes for us as his beloved children, his beautiful bride. In our generation, in our society, there's quite a lot of hardness of heart towards God and his word. Our government has introduced in the last few months a remarkable novelty which it calls gay marriage. And people who support the government's position are sometimes saying that, well, Jesus doesn't speak against homosexual marriage, so surely it's okay in God's eyes. Arguments from silence are rarely very clever. But more than that, Jesus does address the issue, because the issue's here in chapter 10 of Mark. He shows that his understanding of marriage is that of Genesis 1 and 2. And Jesus makes it clear, doesn't he, that as far as he is concerned, marriage is between a man and a woman, because that is the image of God, and that is how it has been given since the beginning of humanity, for all humans. Jesus is really very clear about what marriage is. And surely to claim otherwise is rather one-eyed. Jesus is clear that he stands for the biblical grounds that marriage is between a man and a woman, for sexual union and for life. And even though he was tested by religious leaders in front of a crowd, that is what he stood for. Marriage matters to Jesus, doesn't it? And as somebody who seeks to love Jesus, marriage matters to me. I seek to follow Jesus, and so I want to follow his teaching on marriage as well as other things. I'm a Christian, and so I obey Christ and his leadership. Jesus made a stand when put on the spot, even though it would mean he would court unpopularity. And I want to be faithful too. Marriage matters. Let's pray. Lord, we ask your help in the living of life on this earth, in our country, in our community. Lord God, like Jesus, we face many times when we're put on the spot, and we're faced with many questions and many dilemmas. But we thank you, Lord, for your leadership, for your clarity, for your help. Please, Lord, help us to be faithful. Amen.